Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Five-hour energy. Go. When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. Five-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
I think it's been quite successful.
I mean, I'm super excited. What do you think? So I'm going to do this as a checklist as we go through these games. What do you think is going to have to be tweaked, or is it unknown?
Well, I think there's a couple things that are going to have to be looked at. Number one is the seeding. I think that's an obvious one. It's also probably the easiest thing to fix. This system was created in a world where you still had the Pac-12. It was created before Texas and Oklahoma went to the SEC. So you had five power conferences that were not even exactly in strength, but they were relatively similar. And the idea that you wanted to reward conference champions by giving them first-round buys made a lot of sense. But as we've seen it play out this year, it doesn't make any sense at all, especially the way these conferences are configured now. Boise State, Arizona State should not be getting first-round buys and should not be seeded 3 and 4 when you look at where they're ranked. It makes the bracket unbalanced. You end up getting, you know, Tennessee, Ohio State, which should not be a first-round game. And it also should not be the game where the winner plays Oregon, because Oregon, the number one seed, has a tougher path than any of the other top four seeds. So that just shouldn't happen. I think also the other big concern, at least for me and some other people, is that the season is now very much dipping into the NFL's territory. It's going head to head Saturday with two NFL games.
You wrote a great piece about that yesterday.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, it's just kind of like I've always felt, even the first year of the first 10 years of the 14 playoff, that after New Year's Day and you had the semifinals, college football kind of disappeared. I mean, people, okay, they pop back up and watch the championship game, but just it kind of disappears from the conversation because the NFL playoffs are going, they take over everything. Well, now you're extending that even more. The college season's not going to end until January 20th. Like, I do think there's a danger in just kind of getting lost in the sauce a little bit. And, we'll see how that plays out just in the intention economy.
Can you shift the season then? Would you go earlier into August then to start college football?
Yeah. I mean, I think you could do that. You may have to eliminate conference championship games, which honestly I think everybody besides the SEC would probably be okay with. I mean, there's different ways you could do things, but in my perfect world, I don't know that this is realistic, but in my perfect world, the college football season would end on New Year's Day. Like, that would be it, because that's really when we've had just decades of conditioning that's when college football ends. And I think it's hard to sort of change that at this point.
Dan Wolkin joining us from USA Today. And you can follow Dan on X at Dan Wolkin. It's DanWolken. The Ohio State-Tennessee matchup, you kind of put a little bit of a light on that. It's a tough first-round matchup, and especially when you, as you threw out, you know, you've got folks in the other bracket who might not have the same type of a matchup. How do you like that game? Who do you like in it?
I'm sorry, you broke up there. Are you talking about the Ohio State-Tennessee game?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. Initially, I thought maybe Tennessee was the lean for me, but in looking at kind of where the money's going in Vegas, it seems like the public is all over Tennessee. So I'm going to go the other way and flip back to Ohio State. Fading the public. I don't gamble, but fading the public always seems like a pretty good idea. I think it's a really close matchup. I think they're both really good teams. Tennessee's defense has been outstanding all year long. And I do think their quarterback gives them a higher ceiling if he plays well, but he's also very young and has been inconsistent, and maybe, you know, we'll see in this environment how he handles it. I think that's a big unknown. So I'm going to go with Ohio State, but I think either one winning would not be a huge surprise.
Dan, we're here in Ohio, and for many Ohio State fans, if you don't beat Michigan, your season's unsuccessful. My thought is you have a chance to win the national championship still, and that's what really matters. Do you think that perception changes once everybody gets into the tournament and we see how this goes, not just this year, but in the years to come, as far as how folks look at college football and rivalries? Because it certainly has much more of an NCAA basketball feel and NFL feel as well.
You know, look, I can't sit here in Atlanta, Georgia, and tell Ohio State fans how to feel about their season. You know, that's not really for me to say. I think in general, the focus on the Michigan game, and especially the way that Ryan Day has leaned into it, I think has probably been self-destructive. I think it's probably skewed the way that his own team plays in that game mentally. I think it's had a bad effect on the fan base. I think if you could just hit the reset button and say, let's just treat that game more like it's a rivalry. It's a game that's very, very important, but we can still have a successful season if we don't win that game. I think that would be a much healthier way to approach it. And because you have this 12-team playoff, that's an out that's available to you. But it's also hard to put the toothpaste back in the tube, you know, especially when Ryan Day is talking about how it's, you know, like the worst thing that's ever happened to him besides the death of his father. Like, that's a very...
That was unbelievable, wasn't it?
It's just a really, like, unfortunate thing to hear, much less, I'm sure, to experience. You know, and my theory, and I don't have any evidence about this, this is just sort of my, you know, my pop psychology from hundreds of miles away, is, you know, deep down in his heart of hearts, Ryan Day knows he's a, you know, nerdy guy from New Hampshire, and he's not really one of y'all. And he knows that. And he's overcompensating for that fact, which he believes in his mind is a deficiency in his qualifications for the job. And I don't think it's helping him coach the team. He just needs to coach the team. And I think when he does that, he's pretty good. And so we'll see what the mentality is, you know, now that they can just sort of put that in a box and say, it doesn't matter anymore. We got to play Tennessee. We're going to have a shot to, you know, go deep in this thing and maybe try to do what they did a couple years ago when they lost to Michigan and then probably played the best game of the Ryan Day era in a, you know, loss to Georgia that pretty easily could have been a win.
Mm-hmm. Is he done if they lose? What do you think?
I don't think so. And I don't think if you're Ohio State, you get rid of him. Part of it is because I don't know who you hire. You know, and like, I know that's sort of a cliche. You know, who are you going to find that's better, right? And that's sort of the argument that's always used to not hire a coach. I mean, you could probably go get Matt Campbell from Iowa State, and, like, Matt Campbell's really good. But, I mean, is he better than Ryan Day? Like, what is there, like, evidence he's better than Ryan Day? Not that I've seen. There's not, like, an obvious home run candidate like there was when Urban Meyer was on TV for that year or two or whatever it was after he left Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that move just isn't out there, that it's a slam dunk. You know, you go hire this guy, you're going to get right back in this thing. I don't see it. So if I'm Ohio State, I try to take the patient approach, try to, you know, shake things up with regard to how you approach the Michigan game next year, de-emphasize it in some way, come back with Ryan Day and see what happens. You know, put more in, you know, figure out what you need to do roster-wise, portal, you know, NIL, all that stuff, which I know they're investing in heavily. But make it just about mentally. Shift the focus mentally away from, you know, the Michigan game, and see what that yields you. And maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. But I don't think getting rid of him right now is the right move.
Yeah, the only name that really pops out is Mike Vrabel. Like, especially he's from here, gets us, understands the whole thing. But, again, you're talking about NFL head coach, although he was at Ohio State for a little bit there. Vrabel's the only name, I think, that kind of excites Ohio State football.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Ball fans.
Yeah, but does he want the job?
I don't know. That's the great question. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so that's the part that's hard to know. It takes two to tango. Most of these guys in the NFL who have a chance to become NFL head coaches would rather do that than deal with all the stuff that's happening in college. Bill Belichick, you know, notwithstanding, because he couldn't get an NFL job. So I don't know. If Mike Vrabel was gonna, you know, if he could shoot a little note to Ross Bjork and say, hey, I'm down to come. I want to make this happen. Well, okay, that changes things. But short of that, yeah, I think it's really tough.
Dan, great to have you with us.
Thank you.
Look forward to the games coming up this weekend and beyond. Appreciate it, Dan.
All right, have fun.
Dan Wolkin, USA Today, joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.